Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoy today's safety talk.
Hi, my name is Eric White. I am with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. I'm a safety consultant there. And today I thought we would talk about the ABCs of fall protection. So some of the common things that I see when I'm out and about doing my daily activities, working with employers, when we get to talking about the ABCs, obviously the ABCs are your anchorages, your body wear, and then also your connections. And then if we want to throw in rescue on that, on top of that, we can as well. A lot of people forget about the rescue component. They do pretty well on the ABCs, but then they always forget about the rescue part of it because nobody thinks about when I fall, how am I going to get that person down? How am I going to rescue? Am I going to be able to do a self-rescue, or am I going to rely on my coworkers, or am I going to have to be in a situation where I may be in a construction where I'm so far up where I can't do a self-rescue and a lift from down below can't get me, so I may have to rely on first responders. So we forget about that a lot of times. So if we start off with just the A's of ABCs of fall protection, we're obviously talking about the anchorage points. And a lot of things that I see, whether I'm in construction or if I'm in a general industry setting, I see that they're not anchoring to their harnesses and their lanyards properly. When we look for anchorages in our workplace, we want to look for something that's at least 5,000 pounds. And now, what is 5,000 pounds? That's hard to determine. A lot of people will ask me, well, can I anchor to that? Well, I don't know. Maybe is my answer a lot of times, because I'm not qualified to tell you. That's going to be somebody that's going to be an engineer that needs to come in and maybe do that evaluation to determine if that 5,000 pound anchor point is achievable. Now, obviously, if it's obvious that if you're looking at a large column or a beam structure, then yes. But a good rule of thumb that I always tell people that I read one time was, if you think you can hang a full size pickup truck from that, whatever that is, then that's probably okay. But you're looking for 5,000 pounds. Now, another avenue, if you're qualified to do so and you can run the numbers, your anchorage point only needs to be able to withstand 2 times the intended load. Now, generally we don't do that because we don't know what that load is going to be when that person falls from one level down to the other. So the general rule is 5,000 pounds. So you're looking for something substantial that employer or that employee can connect to. And then obviously then a part of that, after you determine that might be that is a safe connection, you need to then do annual inspections of that anchor point. So in a nutshell, that is the anchorage point. Now, the B part of it is the body wear. What are you using? What are you connecting? What are you putting on your body? What connections are you using? And typically, obviously, we're going to go with a full body harness. For many, many years, we've gotten away from just using belts, and we've all gone to the full body harness and with the D-rings to the appropriate places. Typically for fall arrest, or only for fall arrest, you're going to attach to the dorsal D-ring, which is the D-ring in the center of your back. Then, of course, that D-ring needs to be centered between your back and your shoulder blades. You never want it too high. You never want it too low, because the goal when you're wearing that harness is, if you fall, in the event of a fall, you want to be in a seated position so that that harness can take all those forces and then spread them out throughout your body. And then the C, the connecting part of it, is what are you using for connection? Now, this is where I see a lot of people go wrong, is for many, many years, the common thing is everybody uses a 6-foot shock-absorbing lanyard. Now, those aren't necessarily bad, but they can become bad if we don't use them correctly. And the reason I say that is I see a lot of folks using the 6-foot shock-absorbing lanyards, and they are connecting them, but their anchor height is not high enough. Depending on the manufacturer that you use for your lanyard, the manufacturers will require that you have an anchor height of at least 17.5 to 18.5 feet, give or take a foot or so. So many folks don't take that in consideration, to where they are standing on an elevated surface and they're connecting, and their connection height, the part where they're connected at, is less than that 18.5 or 17.5 feet. So in the event of a fall, what's going to happen is they're going to probably strike the ground. And not only do you got to worry about hitting the ground, but you got to worry about anything that you may strike on the way down, whether it's piping, racking, or anything else that might be down there. So if I had my way, I would, I always recommend that folks do get away from the 6-foot shock absorbing lanyards. And this isn't just my opinion, but get away from the 6-foot shock absorbing lanyards and go to the retractable devices, the self-retracting lifelines. They're not an end all to be all. You can still get yourself in trouble with those, but they are much, much safer, in my opinion. You're not going to fall nearly as far with a shock absorber as you will with a 6-foot shock absorbing lanyard. Typically a shock absorbing lanyard is going to lock up in a matter of 6 to 8 inches. Now your total fall is going to be further than that, but not nearly as far as the 17 to 18 and a half feet that you're going to see with a 6-foot shock absorbing lanyard. So the last component I want to talk about is rescue. Now, the rescue plan, and you need a plan, can be very simple, or it could be complex. Now, that plan is going to differ depending on your environment. Now, the best type of rescue is going to be a self-rescue. That employee is working, and he falls to a lower level, and then he can just simply, or she can just simply collect themselves and then climb back up to where they were. Many times, that's not a possibility, so they may have to rely on a coworker getting them and helping them to get the rescue done. That could be as simple as a ladder. If you could get a ladder to that employee where that employee could get on that ladder and get themselves up or back down, you may have to use a scaffold or a lift such as a scissor lift or JLG. The rescue plan can be different depending on the situation. Problem becomes the amount of time. When you are in a harness, what can happen is the harness can come very tight on your body. And then when that happens, you could also then face something called suspension trauma syndrome. And that suspension trauma syndrome is, if left unattended or left without taking care of it, can cause that person to go into a shock, blood pressure goes crazy, heart rate goes crazy, and that person can eventually then die from that if left in that posture. How long does that take? The experts will tell you anywhere between 15 minutes to a half hour. So the goal would be to get that rescue done as prompt and as quickly as possible. So whatever your plan is, need to have a plan, practice that plan, execute it. Now, if you have a scenario to where that person may be there for a while until you can get that lift or that ladder or that scaffold over that person, almost every single manufacturer of harnesses and lanyards make what they call rescue straps that you can have and attach them to the harness itself. And then by deploying those straps, it can then allow that employee to adjust the harness so that it's not as tight, thus basically allowing them to stay up there indefinitely until rescue can be done. Well, that's the ABCs of fall protection. Again, I want to thank you for listening. Again, my name is Eric White with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.